Blog Talk Radio.
My heart is full of admiration for you, my Lord, my God and King, your excellence. My inspiration, your words of grace have made my spirit sing. You love what's right and hate all evil, therefore your God sets you on your head, pours oil of gladness while fragrance fills your royal palace.
All love, glory, honor, and all belong to you. Oh,
Welcome to Reflections. It's been a minute, but we're getting back in the saddle with things and just wanted to welcome you back to Reflections. We've taken a few, some time off, and tonight we are wanting to talk and share with you about the prayer of Thanksgiving. And so often we're reminded of the miracle that Christ did, and in that he healed 10, but only one returned back to say thank you. And it's important because you can do something from a heart of ingratitude. And I think that's why the scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is a thankful person who knows who's the one who, as it were, Joseph fills his sacks with unexpected blessings, if I can put it like that. We see that giving thanks also reminds us of how much we do have. Human beings, and all of us are, we're just prone to want what other people have. The grass is greener on the other side, or we think that nobody's going through what we're going through. And we find ourselves in a pit of ingratitude. And so often we have to stop digging before we can come out of that pit, because if we keep digging and we're in that pit of ingratitude, it only gets deeper and deeper. And so we have to stop and give thanks, you know, give God thanks for the things that we do have. It may look like things are crumbling around you. It may look like things are not the best or what they should be, but he said that in everything, to give thanks, because that's the will of God concerning us. Psalm 106:1 says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And going through the scriptures, we could continuously encourage ourselves just in terms of finding the scripture. And then as we find the scripture, make it a part of our daily meditation. Psalm 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever and ever." And then Psalm 118:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love." I mean, it's continuously saying the same thing. If you understand what I'm saying, it's a constant repeat of knowing that God's mercy and his love endures forever, and that we should give thanks, that we have a reason to give thanks, that we have a reason that each time we realize the good things that God has done for us, that we should give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's really, really difficult to give thanks. And we have to give thanks even when we don't feel like it. Just the thought of, "God, I give you." And think of everything he's done for you. If you have life, you have strength, you can thank him. If you woke up and you were able to dress yourself, you can thank him. If you woke up and even though you have a couple of pains here and there, thank him, because he says he heals us of all our diseases. And so until the manifestation comes and it's evident in your body, give him thanks, because I think that's what turns the wheels. It gets the wheels turning. in your direction, because the enemy would rather have you grumbling and complaining about your pain, grumbling and complaining about your lack, grumbling and complaining about everything. But when you turn the tables and you begin to give God thanks in everything, every circumstance, it says, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So you're looking at all of these things happening around you, but you begin to say, my attitude from today will change. I will not keep the attitude of ingratitude, but I will begin to find little things. I love what my 2-year-old niece says, and 2-year-olds, you know how they can see things and say things that we can't even see or grasp. And you ask her, you say, how's everything? And she says, I'm good. I'm happy. And imagine if we would take the attitude as a child and give thanks and be happy in whatever circumstances that we're in. We can take off that garment of complaint. We can take off that garment of beggarly attitude and begin to put on the garment of praise. Because I do believe that it's in when we put on that garment of praise that we can begin to see things through God's eyes. We can see things in such a way that it changes our perspective. James 1:1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. And whatever you're going through today and you're finding that you need to be steadfast and unmovable, confess it. Tell the Lord that you're feeling weak and you feel like giving up and you're discouraged. And Paul said the Lord stood by him and encouraged him. And know when you go to the Lord God and you tell him how you feel, just as he stood by Paul, he will stand by you. He will encourage you. Again, let's take a hold to James 1:12 and really take it to heart that blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. It's a good promise to take a hold of, because there are so many things that would seek to discourage you. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So if you find yourself weak, if you find yourself that it seems that nothing is working out, if you find yourself that it seems like the grace that you thought you had is no longer there, stand on God's promise that he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so as you confess your weaknesses, as you confess those things that you have no strength, or whatever you're lacking, that as you begin to confess those things, God says that his strength is made perfect. So you have to grab a hold of that. You have to grab a hold of that promise, stand on that promise. And I'm beginning to learn that sometimes you have to confess that word until it becomes a reality in your life, because then the enemy will taunt you and try to make you doubt and bring you into confusion. But you know that God is not the author of confusion. So as you bind that spirit of confusion, of lack and despondency, bind it and cast it out in the name of Jesus, and decree and declare that the joy of the Lord is your strength, that you have put on the garment of praise and you have traded it for the garment of heaviness, and that it no longer is a part of you. It cannot linger in your house. It cannot linger around you. It is yours for the asking, yours for the taking. Let's look at Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And so you may be looking at some circumstances and some things that don't look quite like it's good. It looks like something is just amiss. Stand on Romans 8:28. Stand on it. Make it yours. Make it yours daily. That, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So whatever it seems like that it's not working, know that it's working. Know that beyond and behind the scenes it's working. Oh, my God, know that it's working. The Lord God promised you. He said, even down to the point where your enemies may be coming at you one way, but the word of God says that they come in one way, they will flee seven ways. So know beyond a shadow of a doubt that as you place the word in your heart, you can begin to confess that word, that my enemy has come in one way, but he must flee seven ways. The word of God says that if you find your enemy, you catch him, he has to pay back sevenfold. So everything the enemy has stolen from you, begin to give God thanks, because God is going to restore it sevenfold. No matter what it is, if he stole your health, if he stole your children, command him to loose your children from the foreign country and your children to be restored back unto you. If God has promised you that all of your children will be taught of the Lord, decree and declare that over your children, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and that every tongue that would rise against them in judgment, you will condemn it. Begin to give God thanks in everything. Every wicked thing the enemy would seek to throw your way, realize that God is making it a boomerang to go back to the enemy's camp, and that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So whatever you're dealing with, know that God is causing it to work together for your good. So give him thanks. Let's go on and look at Hebrews 13:15. It says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. And so you know what it is sometimes. Sometimes you get to that place and it just seems like nothing is working out. Nothing is going right. That's where we have to step in and give God a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We have to pull it deep down inside and say, Lord, I give you praise. God, I give you thanks for all that you've done and all that you will continue to do in my life. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of my children and grandchildren, my nieces and my nephews. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in my husband's life and vice versa. If you're a woman you're praying for your husband, and for your husband, if you're praying for your wives, give God thanks. Give him thanks that irregardless to the devilish things, it always gets worse somehow before it gets better. But know that God has given you a promise, and pour those promises down from heaven until they become a manifested reality in your life. And that though through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. It will have to be a sacrifice. And sometimes you've heard the story of the chicken and the pig. And the sacrifice, the pig made the sacrifice because he had to give all the bacon. And in order for him to give the bacon, he had to lay down his life. And you're going to have to lay down your life for the brethren as well. You're going to have to make yourself a living sacrifice unto the true and living God, and that he is able to bring good out of bad. Let's look at Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything. Let me say that again. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you want your heart to be guarded, if you want your peace to be a real substance and working in your life. You have to throw your anxiety on the Lord. You have to give it to him and not be anxious in anything. Bills are piling up. The dog's sick. The cat's sick. Everybody in the house sick. But don't you give up, because the word of the God says to be anxious for nothing. And in everything by prayer, in not in some things, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Add that handle of thanksgiving to it. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And, oh, my God, if we would just make this thing a reality. Just make it a reality. Make it a sacrifice. Make it something that you determine in your mind to do every day, that irregardless of what's going on around you, you will silence the circumstances around you, because you've made up in your mind you will not be anxious about anything. Bills, you will not be anxious. School fees, you will not be anxious. Barren, you will not be anxious. But you're finding that in every one of those things, you're saying, God, to you be praise. Father God, I give you thanks. I give you worship. I give you praise, because you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. And being that that is who he says he is and who he is, you can stand on that promise and cast all of your cares, all of your anxieties, and just really watch God do this thing. We've come to the end of our live broadcast, but we thank you so much, because the Bible says so much about thankfulness and thanksgiving. And we will continue this after we go off the live portion. We will continue to, for the next 15 minutes, just share with you about thanksgiving and the reality of what the attitude of thanksgiving can do. Thank you so much. We will be right back, but we will play you a short song, and we will be right back.
My heart is full of admiration for you, my Lord, my God. My inspiration, your words of grace have made my spirit sing. You love what's right and hate all evil. Therefore, your God sets you on high and on your head pours oil of gladness, while fragrance fills your royal palace.
Thank you.
We have a few more minutes, and we're still looking at Thanksgiving and gratitude and having a heart of Thanksgiving. And we looked at 1 Thessalonians, and we're still kind of meditating on that. I want to repeat that scripture again. It says, "Be joyful always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And what we see in that is, give thanks in all circumstances, not some circumstances. Thankfulness should be our lifestyle. It should flow naturally out of us, from our hearts, if we're connected with Christ. And Psalm 136, 6, "To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever." We see in that we understand why we should be thankful, and also how to have a heart of gratitude in very difficult circumstances and different circumstances, no matter what you might find yourself or where you might find yourself in. You might be in a rough patch, and you're trying to give thanks, but it's just a tough time. God will give you the grace, because he says his grace is sufficient for you. And we see that God's constant goodness and his steadfast love in those verses. And when we recognize that the nature of our depravity, and understand that apart from God, apart from the Holy Spirit, there's only death, there's no life, there's nothing at all. And we see in Psalm 30, David goes on. He says, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought me." And you've got to see this picture, that David was in a desperate place. But if there was something about David, David knew how to praise God in his circumstances. He knew how to get a hold of God when the odds were against him. When everything else said no, David knew how to get a hold of and that audience of one with the Father. And even to the point that the Father said that David was a man after his own heart. David had a heart of thanksgiving. He had a heart of gratitude. That even though things were tough, David learned that by experience, and he knew that God was good. He knew that he could take God at his word. We also have to recognize that John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to do three things, and you must remember those three things. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And when you see destruction around your life or the lives of your loved one, the Word of God says, resist the devil and he must flee from you. So when you're resisting him, put on the whole armor of God. Let thanksgiving be a weapon that you powerfully use, and begin to wield that weapon of thanksgiving as you put on the whole armor of God. The enemy cannot take it when you're giving God thanks. He wants all the glory. He wants all the praise. But when you begin to open up your mouth wide, giving God all the glory for the great things that he has done for you. And I love where this scripture says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Here we have two reasons to be thankful. And knowing that the only thing that is constant in our lives is the Word of God, is the Father himself. And as we realize these things and begin to give him thanks, we see our circumstances change. Psalm 28 says, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands." That's a man who knows how to get the attention of God. He's saying, don't turn a deaf ear to me. because I know that if I cry out, you will hear and you will answer me. So therefore, we have to become as bold as David. And I believe with all my heart, that's why the book of Psalms is there, to show us how we can be creatures of praise and creatures of thanksgiving, filling our hearts with those Psalms to know how to give God thanks. Psalm 28, 6 through 7 says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. I am helped. My heart exults. And with my song I give thanks to him." Oh, my God, what a good God we have as we get into this thing and know that as our hearts are filled with thanksgiving, that no matter how the enemy will come in one way, he must flee from your presence seven ways, no matter how he comes. Job 1, verse 21 says, "And he said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." So everywhere we step, the fragrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should be oozing out of us. It should be filling up the room and the atmosphere everywhere that we are, because we are creatures giving him thanks. And that thanks is turning into a sweet-smelling savor. Look at Hebrews 12:28. It says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." Oh, my God, we serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome, awesome God. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 7. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." And many of you are there. Many of you are being grieved. Many of you are going through grievous trials. And the Word of God says, "In this rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor." Oh, my brothers and my sisters, you're in a good place. Don't let the enemy steal, kill, or destroy what God is working out in your life, because you know that all things are working together for good. You know that in this you can rejoice, that for a little while you're going through some tough times, some grievous trials. But know that you're being tested. The genuineness of your faith is being tested. And God says that that's more precious than gold. So go through and give thanks. In everything, give thanks. We will continue this topic on tomorrow, Saturday night. Thank you so much for listening in. And just remember, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And 2 Timothy 3:2, "For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. But for us, we must be totally the opposite. We must be grateful." Ungrateful is a part of the pattern that we would see when the end is coming. But we must ask God to continually fill our hearts with gratitude, and I know that he will. You're blessed, and you're highly favored of the Lord. And as you continue to give him thanks, look for circumstances to change around you. Look for things to get better, because all things work together for good to those who are called and love him.
My heart.